Now, we'll start off with the content for today. So this is going to be very conversational with these gentlemen sharing their experiences using incident reporting software in their hospitals and how they've been able to be successful in hitting some of their strategic objectives and goals, again, just using the data that they're collecting. So we'll start off with Robert. Robert, you can take the first question, and we'll give everybody a chance to answer this question. But Robert, what are some of the ways you've been effectively tracking workplace violence in your hospital?
Thank you. Yeah. So probably about a year ago, we started a pilot program with creating a committee to track workplace violence at one of our facilities. We collected that data from our report writing system and our dispatching system, all being in one. And we're using the analytics currently now to pinpoint where we're having those issues at inside of our hospitals. Is it isolated to one area, or is it more of a widespread area? But being able to, at the click of a button, go into your report writing system and get that data for your leadership teams, or even to bring to your committee meetings monthly, has been really instrumental in helping combat workplace violence.
Awesome. Thank you, Robert. And there's a few things I'll circle back to there, but I'll also give Tony a chance to answer this question. So Tony, what are some of the ways that you've been effectively tracking data as it relates to workplace violence?
Well, I'm going to go back just a step in that, Brian, if you don't mind. And when I first got to Columbus Regional Hospital in 2016, we used a homegrown report writing system that we dumped all of our data in. And unfortunately, when we started looking at our violent events here, I found quickly that we had a lot of data going in, but we weren't able to really get the data out in any meaningful form. So that was a real challenge, because I had a lot of stuff that I wanted to get done, but I was having a really hard time validating the need through data, because we were just dumping all of our data into a black hole, and which is one of the reasons we started looking for a new a reporting system to put our data into, and we were fortunate enough to find OmniGo as a great solution for that. So once we started getting our data into a database that would actually allow us to pull it out and do some really neat things with the data, including the 360 analytics program, it allowed us to really get a very, very good look at what we were actually experiencing. So we knew what we were feeling. We knew we were feeling that we had a lot of violent events going on within our organization. We knew that that was being experienced nationwide. The numbers were going up. We just weren't able to really validate that. Once we started pulling our reports through analytics and validating numbers, we realized two things. We realized that, number one, we were actually experiencing what we were feeling, which was a dramatic increase in violent events and workplace violence episodes. The other thing we realized, that the in-house other reporting system on the risk management side was grossly under calculating the violent events we had as well. So we're talking, they were seeing about 15% of the number of events that we actually started seeing when we started doing effective reports through capturing all the workplace violence events in our OmniGo report system. So what that allowed me to do was to start going to our leadership here, pulling reports, data, charts, and talking about all the violent events, which got everyone's attention. Again, we knew what we were feeling, we just couldn't validate it. I hate talking numbers specifically, because number one, it sounds terrible, but really, if you don't have a feel for how large the organization is, when I say, for example, last year we experienced 144 events of workplace violence here in our organization, that's huge for us, especially when previously they were thinking we were experiencing maybe 40 a year. So that's what we're doing right now. Is we're just, now that we've got a real good grip on that, we've created a workplace violence prevention committee, and we meet monthly, and there's a lot of other work goes into that. But I'll pause there, because that may take you down other rabbit holes.
No, fair enough, Tony. And then there's definitely a couple of things that we'll follow up on there as well. But Mark, how about for yourself? What are some of the ways that you've been effectively tracking workplace violence data?
Well, I mean, I'm probably a nerd when it comes to the data, because I think we use a lot of the data to help, you know, track the trends and then figure out what's happening. Using that data to get a good picture, to Tony's point, of what's actually occurring. You know, there's what people feel, and there's a perception of, you know, how people feel safe or how secure the hospital is. Then there's actual numbers. And a lot of times, you know, those don't match up. So here we were able to show like, you know, that the numbers actually match up to what people are feeling. And I love to use the data to then as we're you know, implementing new training, maybe we change around, you know, our security posture with staffing, or we added some new cameras or you know, some new security technology. How's that impacting those events as well? Because that's able, you know, now I'm able to help justify, you know, why we're spending money or why we're doing something. You know, hey, if I add that FTE and we put them over in that ER location, and then we see a reduction in those workplace violent incidents, you know, that I can correlate now that expense has now had that reduction, and so it probably worked out. Or hey, it had no impact. And maybe we need to rethink on how we did that and maybe retool that decision and move that around a little bit. But I mean, it's key to really get the data. And I like to share, you know, we work in healthcare. You can go to any nurse's station or any floor in any hospital, and they got a board. They got information. They're sharing, you know, what the fall rates look like on their floor, or the hospital-acquired infections. And the data really helps professionalize the security department, because we're also tracking and trending similar incident management, incident data to show, you know, what we're doing and how we're moving that needle one way or the other.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Now, I want to follow up on a couple of points there. One thing that Tony mentioned specifically was the dramatic increase in workplace violence events. So, you know, and this is something that I hear quite frequently. So I'll kind of open up to all of you. Would you kind of correlate that more with there actually being an increase in events, or once the organization recognizes that there's an effective means of capturing that people tend to report more because there's not the difficulties of trying to navigate some other difficult system, or again, it's just the ease of the reporting? What do you guys think?
Yeah, that I'll go first on that because I'm wrestling with that now in this. Number one, I've spent the last 7 years really, really beating the drum when it comes to we have to get these events reported. You know, healthcare, the culture in healthcare is a lot like the culture in law enforcement. I say that is, I can remember arresting someone a couple of times for battery on a police officer and getting into court and hearing a judge say, you know, it's just part of the job, and that charge gets dismissed. And you know, I always felt like I just didn't see getting beat up in my job description. It's a hazard of the job. It is not part of the job. And so I really started hammering on that from new employee orientation all the way through education that we give throughout the staff. And I tell them, we've got to change the culture on that. And you know, once you start getting your organization and your nursing staff, your clinical staff comfortable with the fact that it's okay to report it, and you shift, you do a paradigm shift on it, it's not a bad thing to report. Then your next challenge is understanding that if you're capturing the data correctly and you're analyzing the data correctly, you're going to start to see some huge increases in the number of events that you're seeing. So I was challenged recently with setting a baseline of workplace events and then start, you know, what are our goals? What do we want to see at the end of the year? And what are our stretch goals? And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, well, I really hate to say we want to see those numbers go down. I want to see the numbers go down, but I know that our numbers of reports, our accuracy in reporting is still going up. And so there are some challenges in that, but we can't bend the curve on these actual events until we get accurate reporting. And then we have a database that's going to give us meaningful data out. And, you know, until you get those two things together, I don't think that you can really start really quantifying how you're impacting workplace. I feel like we're already impacting it. I feel like we're already reducing the numbers, but you know, as we continue to get reporting better out in the field, it there's gonna be a crossroads there. It's gonna make it very muddy. So that's a good point that you bring up, Brian.
Yeah, I would add on to it, and I think you nailed it on the nose, was changing the culture. For the longest time in healthcare, it was, I come in, I get yelled at, I get hit all the time, and I'm just supposed to accept it because it's part of my job. And changing the culture, changing the mindset that it's not okay, it's not part of your job, you need to report this, and we need to start defending this. And, you know, what can we do to counteract it? You know, is there a chance for an early recognition? You know, because a lot of the times these patients that are coming into our facilities are repeat offenders. And if there's a way that we can identify them, you know, either by tracking it in a report in 360 analytics, some way, early identifier to alert our staff of a potential workplace violence incident before it even happens. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And with that, what we've seen here at Lee Health is ever since we started our communities and bringing to the front line and bringing the attention to it, our numbers have gone up. So we've been able to start putting plans in place that how can we combat this now that they're being reported to us? Because before we weren't hearing about it, and now we're hearing about it daily and weekly from all of our facilities across the system.
Yeah, Rob, I agree. It's tough to make, you know, decisions when you don't know what the true picture looks like. You know, we struggle with the same thing, you know, changing that culture. You know, when we first changed the culture, we saw probably over a 2,000% increase in the number of reports. Just because it was so underreported, it's part of my job, it's what I expect. Once we changed the culture a little bit, we saw the reports then go through the roof. One of the things we do, we try to make it easy for them to report, like, hey, you don't have to go on the system. You know, similar to you know, on the streets, you call the police officer takes the report, call security, we'll come, we'll take the report, we'll take that on so we can get better accurate and better data. So we're able to track that, we get that. And then we're able to show, you know, as we started the education, we had a blip as the education, people became more aware. But then obviously as the education took hold, we started using some of the techniques, the de-escalation, the conflict, you know, avoidance, those types of scenarios. As they were able to implement that, then we saw a huge, about a 40% reduction in incidents the following year, you know, and so that proved that the education piece was having, you know, a desired outcome. You know, we went from, you know, nothing getting reported, we have no idea what the current state looks like, to, oh my gosh, it's crazy, it's out of control. That kind of gave us our baseline, and then we were able to stabilize. Then we watched, you know, as the training took place and some of the other, you know, the staffing changes, the redeployments, the training for staff, security staff as well, we started to see the benefits of those with the reductions. And then we had it to the point where we were able to track as COVID took hold, you know, the ebbs and spikes that were probably the result of COVID. You know, at first, like, no one came to the hospital. Our numbers went drastically down, huge, huge reduction, you know, in reports. But then all of a sudden, once, you know, we saw that change, now we're overburdened, you know. People are, like, waiting outside for 4 hours, which, you know, aggravated the issue, and we watched the incidents start creeping up and rising again. And, you know, you get to the point then where you're able to start tracking it, you know, by the week. You're able to see it on Monday as it's starting to creep up. You're able to start making some decisions and changes and things by Friday that you're able to see make an impact. So that's why I love the data, is you're able to track and trend to the point of, you know, you can make some real decisions and make some real, you know, change when it comes to those curves.
Yeah, Ryan, and I'd like to add on to some of what Mark said. Is one of the challenges is finding that crossroad. When are your number of reporting going to be accurate enough that the data, the numbers will be what you look to for guidance. And in the interim, what I would say, as you're doing your education, as you're getting better reporting and you're taking that, and hopefully you're taking the data and you're following up on that and you're doing things to support staff and to reduce those numbers. But let's not forget surveys. Surveys, I know they're subjective, and, you know, we want to be really objective with data and all that, but in the interim, while you're starting to change and get better reporting, those surveys can give you the confidence of knowing you're moving in the right direction. And I will tell you that it was so satisfying to team up with our quality and safety team here at our organization, and then to come back and find out during the survey when they're asking you, do you feel safe in your workspace, that we got some of the highest scores of anything else on the survey, not only from our frontline clinical staff and our physician group here as well, because you know you're getting it right then, because you know, people are very, very protective about their safety and how they feel about it. If they don't feel safe, they are going to tell you. So don't underestimate the power of those surveys as you're starting to try to get an accurate reporting base.
Well, thank you, Tony. Very, very good point. All some great stuff there. Now, there's a couple of things that you guys mentioned, and you specifically called out a couple of times there, the 360 analytics. So having that analytics dashboard. And Mark, you went even a little bit deeper and said you're able to see things like based on the time of day or the day of the week when we're having certain types of occurrences. I guess I'll just ask if we can expound a little bit on that, Guy. What are some of the ways that you're using those analytics dashboards or any of those other like predefined reports that you can set up in your reporting systems?
Well, I run 360 analytics at least once a week, looking at our workplace violence events specifically. And it's so versatile. I mean, I can drill down so deep and peel back so many layers. And I really like when I'm looking at the numbers and I can recognize a spike in a type 2 workplace violence event, for example. You know, I don't expect to see in an area. I expect to see the higher numbers in our emergency department and our behavioral health unit. To see those, not expect numbers spiking on a rehab unit, for example. And you know, we take that data, not only look at the level of violence and the types of workplace violence, but then that can really direct you so that you can circle back and say, hey, maybe I need to pay some attention here and get some education back to this unit. Maybe I need to find out what's going on with leadership there. Is there, you know, what's causing the spike here? And so you know, just being able to peel those layers back and look at it from all different angles, very powerful. And when you're able to give the numbers and print out those reports, and you also have a nice graphic, because you know, numbers speak to some people, pictures speak to others. I like pictures, it can be powerful. And I'll use those reports and walk over to our executive suite and say, hey, I'd like for you to take a look at these numbers. This is a little bit alarming. And then by the same token, you know, showing them a still shot of a particularly violent event or chaotic event, really get some attention there and can lead you down the road of really affecting change when you get that awareness and that aha moment from your upper leadership to support the efforts that you're doing ground level.
Yeah, I would even add on to, we took the new industry standard that IHSS put out for incident tracking and reporting and merged into our OmniGo Report Exec. So now we're able to pull data, we're able to compare ourselves against the industry across the country and not just give a guess about it. You know, I want to know what they're doing out in California or out in Indiana. Maybe you're doing something different that's going to help with that, and being able to interact with other healthcare agencies by using the same analytics and the same charting and the same categories is going to be huge. You know, I'm in 360 analytics daily because I try to track all the hospitals in our system to see what's occurring daily, and then we report it out monthly to our senior leadership. And before we went with OmniGo, it used to be an Excel document that I had to take and kind of make my own thing with and make it presentable, where now it's literally the click of a button. I have this nice, beautiful chart, and I can send it out automatically to our leadership, and it takes some time off of my daily activities to focus on other things. So it's been very helpful for us over here.
Yeah, Rar, I think it's been huge. I mean, the custom reports, the scheduled reports, I don't have to go search for it. It's in my inbox when I want it, able to pull it up, review it. You know, and you talk about reporting, so I got to report out to the Workplace Violence Committee, I report out to the Safety Excellence Committee, I report out to the EOC, you know, all these different, you know, places where this data gets shared with. And so really to be able to just hit the button, get the beautiful graphs, get all the information in one center. I'm not spending hours, you know, to your point, you know, grabbing all these Word documents that they wrote the reports on or some file folder and then importing it into an Excel and then to create a graph. And, you know, that was taking hours before. Now it's, you know, click, click, it's done. I got a beautiful PowerPoint presentation I'm now able to share that really tells the story of what we're doing and what's occurring here on campus. You know, that's been huge to help move the needles and things like that. And also to your point, you know, now being able to compare what it looks like here to other places, you know, like, I mean, that's I think is going to be a game changer really for helping justify, you know, why are we having more incidents than what they're seeing at a similar site in Florida? You know, well, hey, their budget's twice the size of ours, and look how much staffing they have. And, you know, that's probably why they're able to do more. They got more. It helped justify when it comes to me on saying why we need more money, or, you know, what we need to do, you know, well, hey, if we want to get to like them and have their numbers and have that impact and reduce the incidents, then here's where we need to, you know, allocate and spend resources to make that happen. You know, nothing's going to change for free, unfortunately. You know, it's, And, you know, it's not always going to add an FTE. Sometimes it's we got to add some technology, a camera, some card readers, you know, stuff like that. But whatever it is, all that costs money. And, you know, now you're able to show, again, that investment, you know, did it have the impact we're looking for? And I love, you know, like Robert said, you find out who's doing a great job. You pick up the phone, you reach out to them, call them up. You get some great, great information and tidbits to share. Like, that's super innovative. We need to start looking at that because, you know, my staff's going to love that, you know, getting implemented and actually making that difference.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that that Robert pointed out there was the incident categorization framework developed by IIHSS. And I just popped up the, again, Corey, Andy, and Matt King. So if you're interested in learning more about the incident categorization framework, maybe not sure where to navigate to find that on the IIHSS website, reach out to any of those three smiling faces and they'll be able to help you out. They're all active members and follow anything data related for sure. Now, I want to circle back to a couple of things there. And I kind of want to highlight, you know, all of your basically second jump, you all made reference to committees and sharing information with committees. Can you talk about how you've used the data that you're collecting to help with any of that reporting that you guys are responsible for?
Yeah, I'll get a stab at it first. So we started a workplace violence committee at each of our hospitals. We also have a secondary reporting tool that is kind of clinical based, where they're supposed to go in and enter reports. What we're doing here at Lee Health is we're taking the information that we're seeing from 360 Analytics and we're comparing it to what the clinical team is putting in. And one of the questions that's in there is, did you report this to public safety? And what we're finding out is it's not being reported to public safety, unfortunately. So we're not getting all that information, all that data that's being generated in this other reporting tool. So we're taking to the front, you know, the storefront, and we're going, hey, you know, make sure you call them public safety. You know, we want to help combat this and putting the education out there, because the education is knowledge and knowledge is power. And if they don't have that knowledge, we can't help, you know, combat this issue. So it's been very helpful. We're starting to see a trend in, you know, our report numbers are going up again because they're reporting it to us. And by being able to look into the other reporting tool and compare it to what we have in 360 Analytics, we're being able to see that we're being notified on all incidents now, whereas before we weren't.
Yeah, and I'll share, you know, for us here in California, you know, CalOSHA came out 5 years ago with probably a pretty comprehensive workplace violence healthcare law that it requires us to report to them. And so I'll just say, you know, working with the team in Omnigo, it was real easy to help create those reports to where, you know, I'm not having to track down that information and spend a lot of time gathering it to make sure I'm meeting that regulatory obligation. You know, I'm just able to say, hey, I need to pull up my CalOSHA numbers so I can get that pulled up and get that sent over and have that readily available to share, rather than, you know, again, I think that, you know, a lot of us were using before is an Excel document trying to track it all. Or, you know, using Access, and it gets to a certain size, it starts to get pretty big and gets corrupted year over year to where now it's really tough to manage. And I just love the fact that it categorizes it based on workplace violence type, you know, were there injuries, the seriousness of those injuries, whether it was employee, staff, the visitor, you know, we're able to cut the pie and get that information so many different ways. I love the data. You know, I can tell you, like, well, hey, why do the incidents happen more on night shift than day shift? You know, why are the incidents happening in one location versus the other? We're able to drill down to Tony's point earlier, really take that information and drill down to find out what's occurring and where it's happening to now, you know, identify what needs to occur. Because, you know, the point of data is you got to do something with it. You know, we're not just here to report that, yep, we got a lot of people getting beat up every day. You know, think. You know, in my role, and I'd probably say Tony and Robert, you know, feel the same. You know, I'll be happy the day that we get zero incidents, that we end workplace violence in hospitals, and we have nothing going on. Might work ourselves out of a job, but I'm all for it, because, you know, the day that, you know, nurses can come to work and not have to worry about, you know, am I going to get hit or slapped or punched or kicked? You know, that's I want them to be able to focus on the patient, have them be able to focus on caring, not, you know, their safety. So
yeah, and I'll say as it pertains to the different committees and meetings that I attend where the data is important, I'll start out not to be overly simple, but that I mean, what a win. I am using the data, right? Before, I really kind of steered away from it. I'm kind of ashamed to say that because it was just so laborsome to get that data out of that black hole of a report system that we had. And I can't even express how easy it is in 360 Analytics to get these reports out and to get them ready with just a few clicks, and you can set them up, save your templates. But I'm using those reports and I find that I use them over and over. But I'll tell you, one of the most rewarding things about 360 Analytics is when I'm sitting in a meeting on a WebEx and I'm talking about the report that I've generated, and someone will pipe up and say, yeah, but what about this? Or what if this, what's going on here? And I have 360 Analytics open up live, and I'm able to just make a few changes, put a few more parameters in and say, well, I'll answer what that means. And then you put share your screen and show them, and you see the looks on other people's face, and they're like, wow, he really just had to answer that for me immediately. And that is the power of 360 Analytics, is it's there and it's there right now. So that's the awesome thing, is just that we are using the data in those committees.
Well, it just helps us know our business so well, you know, to be able to be like, to Tony's point, sit in a meeting, be able to provide answers immediately. You know, before it'd be like, well, I'm gonna have to go back and research it and get back to you. And now, you know, just really being able to pull that up just like that, truly, I think, you know, one, professionalizes our department, but really makes it show to our leaders, you know, that we know our business and we know what's going on, and that builds trust, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact checking. Whereas before it was all smoke and mirrors, right? We were guesstimating how much, you know, was going on in our facilities. But now we're able to pinpoint it all with 360 Analytics and give accurate data to the ones that are asking us these questions.
And one thing you kind of mentioned earlier, Mark, you know, you kind of joked around about potentially working yourself out of a job. I think the one thing that's unique that I know you've done, at least in the past, because we spoke about this over a year ago, we had a conversation and you had mentioned that day that your team at your last facility had de-escalated, I think it was 11 events on that last shift. And the fact that you knew that means that it was being tracked, right? So there's another way to show value. Even though we have a decrease in workplace violence events, you can say, well, we've de-escalated this many, or the term that you use, conflict avoidance or conflict prevention, we've been able to have that kind of interaction or have that kind of occurrence. So our team is still active, and that is, you're able to demonstrate exactly why that there is a reduction in that violence.
Yeah, I think that was like the phase two, really, is, you know, we do a great job of reporting stuff after it happens, but, you know, and that's the hardest part, I think, is getting the staff to realize, do the extra work and put in the reports of stuff that we prevented from happening. Because now we're able to show that we're being proactive. And I'll be honest, like, we might be able to say there was 11 that shift, but that's one of those scary numbers. It's tough to really make sure everyone's getting that in every time and every day. But I think that number alone really goes to, when I go to present, you know, it's not just, you know, here's how many incidents we had. Well, here's how many we prevented. I remember walking in, you know, even just using like the dispatch software to show, hey, here's how many doors we unlocked last month. And leadership going, oh my gosh, you guys are that busy, you're doing that many door unlocks and that many escorts. And yeah, we watched 400 people to their car late at night in July because, you know, they called us and we provide that service and security. That's 400 instances where an officer escorts someone to their car in the dark to make sure they feel safe. But that's data that before we had no way to capture and track and things like that. But, you know, not just workplace violence, but the operations of our department, and then the value that we're adding. You know, it's, we all know we don't generate revenue, so it's a cost center. So, you know, what's the value add that represents the investment the hospital's making that department to show, like, here's your return, here's what we're doing that's worth all that money, because they have no idea, I think, most of the time, you know, what security does day in and day out. They think, oh, the officer just stands over there. Like, no, that officer does a lot more than just stand over there. Like, we do all those things I think are unseen. And so the data really brings that to light to show how busy we truly are and, you know, why we need these resources.
Yeah,
Mark, I think there's, go ahead, Tony.
Sorry. That, Mark, that's a great point when you start talking about the data and just how we're collecting it and how we're able to use it. When I arrived at this organization in 2016, we were a 12-person security department. And it wasn't until I started being able to make the data speak that we really started to see an evolution in our department. And, you know, I go from a 12-person security department to now being a 20-person hospital-based police department with a fully functioning police dispatch center. That didn't happen because I'm really good looking and wear great jackets. You're supposed to laugh about that. It happened because of the data. I was able to make the data speak and shed a light of facts and realism to what we were feeling and be able to quantify. So, yeah, the data is not, we're talking a lot about workplace violence, but, and there's so much more that goes into the data and what the real drain on your resources are.
And I think it's something you both have said. No one really knows what we do. They don't know what we do day in and day out. We know what our staff does. But being able to pull data and use it as a justification for why I need this, it's been easy. Being able to pull a report where before we couldn't really pull a report. So when we went into those capital meetings and we're asking for 5 FTEs for something, they kind of laughed at you. They said, why would I give you 5 FTEs where I can get, you know, 5 radiology techs or 4 new nurses and they can help bring in money, where public safety, like Mark said, we're not generating revenue, but we can help save you money. By increasing our staff in public safety, we're able to prevent violence from happening. We're able to make our staff feel safer. And that's been the key thing with this data and being able to justify why we need our staff.
Well, and Robert, I think that the key right there, you know, is when you talk about the data, when we talk about, you know, funding your program or getting money, to Tony's point earlier, that safety, that culture of safety survey, how safe do your staff feel? Like, that's data we can actually quantify, you know, like, hey, I don't know if anyone's realized there's a nursing shortage. They can go work just about anywhere. I bet every hospital on this call has got some sign-on bonus for a nurse. You know, they're going to go where they feel safe. They're going to get paid regardless. So why would they work at this hospital where it's not safe for them? When they can go down the road, get a sign-on bonus, maybe catch a couple bucks more, they'll even probably willing to take a couple bucks less if they feel safe at that hospital. You know, you talk about what does it cost to recruit, train a nurse, a doctor, or just staff in general? We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars as an organization to do that. You know, so then if we make the security program, we spend, you know, $40,000 there and make things safer, we can then say we're going to have an impact on retention. You know, instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to recruit and retain nurses, hey, let's make them feel safe and spend that, some of that money over here in security, because that's going to be able to show, you know, that as they feel safer, they stay longer. Now they're not leaving to go somewhere where it is safe. We're spending less money on recruiting and retention, and that's where we're getting that bang for our buck again. We're able to just transfer some of that money from one area to another, and, you know, we're still achieving the same goal that, you know, we're keeping our staff. I remember when I walked into my last facility, you know, we were probably 70% travelers in the ER. This is pre-COVID. You know, like, no one wanted to be there. When you talk to them, I don't feel safe working here. It's crazy. So we made those changes. You know, we went to where we went from 70% travelers, now we're 80% in-house, and they were raving for us. I remember we had a company come in, do a staffing survey, and they said we need to cut our entire security program by about, you know, 2/3. He goes, what do you think about that? I go, that's a good recommendation. Good luck with that. He goes, what do you mean? I go, the nursing director for the ER is not going to allow that to happen, I promise. The nurses need to feel safe. You know, if anything, they're going to say we need to add a couple officers. So you can go make your recommendations, but we're moving the needle. We're able to show that we're reducing incidents. We're able to show the impact we're having, you know, and that staff actually feel that as we're doing that. And that, I think, is the key when it comes to, you know, getting money. You know, like, well, why do you need like to Robert's point, why do you need those 5 FTEs? Well, here's what's happening. We've noticed, you know, all these incidents occur on second shift. So if we add 2 more people to these locations that bring those hours, you know, the theory is it's going to impact that and reduce those incidents and those numbers. And then we're able to show 6 months down the road, like, look, it did have that positive impact. We've now built that trust. Next year when we go and say, I need 2 more FTEs to do this, we've already proven that we've been able to do that.
Excellent stuff. Now, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit here. Again, there's so much there. One thing that I'll kind of add is, you know, when I think of Mike Hodges, for example, I know part of his workplace violence prevention practices is to have the unit rounding. And again, that's just another thing that you can track. And if you have that as a separate category, that's another statistic that you can show, again, just regarding workplace violence prevention. But Tony, you had mentioned, you know, you're just walking those statistics over to your executive suite. I'd like to ask you guys, and I guess we'll start with Mark this time. What data have you used specifically to get the attention of your senior leadership?
I mean, specifically workplace violence, obviously, that's the biggest thing in healthcare right now. That's what we're all talking about. I mean, Becker's has, I think, 3 reports just this week on the subject alone. So, you know, that's where my leadership focus is at a lot of times as well. Like I said earlier, you know, when I started able to pull the data and then share the story of what the department does, you know, leadership was they were set back when they realized, you know, how much other things we're doing that they just take for granted. They, you know, they don't realize how all the, you know, 110 acre campus, we got 65 buildings here, you know, between research and the hospital and things like that. They don't realize, you know, how those gates and doors get unlocked in the morning and get locked up at night at, you know, close of business. And, you know, they just think that just happens. So, you know, being able to help tell our story as a department as to what we really do and the value. But, you know, really being able to drill down that workplace violence data, that I think has been really key for them. Because, you know, I'll be honest, nursing, they're always wanting to see what that looks like and where is it trending and how or what are we doing to fix it. And, you know, we might go from 5 to 2 one week to the next. Well, why do we still have 2? You know, it's that's the question we continue to ask ourselves, and leadership continues to ask us is, what? How can we get to 0?
Yeah, so the one thing that I'm leveraging quite a bit to get the attention is just the power of the actual exec reporting system within OmniGo is combined with the workplace violence data that you get. But, you know, when I take a report over and you know, when you're talking to your executives, your leadership team, and you're saying workplace violence, oftentimes you don't really know what their mental model or their definition of workplace violence is. When you're saying workplace violence, do they picture someone yelling at someone? Or do they actually realize that can mean somebody getting punched full force in the face by a patient's fist, knocking their head back into the door, knocking them to the ground? And the beauty of OmniGo is it can take all those elements, put them together in a really nice report. And so when I deliver this report and I'm talking about it, they don't just see workplace violence, they're gonna see battery, they'll see aggravated battery. Oh, and guess what? I'm gonna attach media to this report as well. And when I print that out, it's gonna have a nice color photo of and it's not nice, it's terrible, terrible color photo of our staff member with injuries, with redness. Unfortunately, sometimes blood, and these things speak volumes when you're able to deliver this report and show them the multiple layers of workplace violence is a word. You know, now I'm going to help define what your mental model of what we mean when we say workplace violence is, and it just speaks volumes. They get a clearer picture, and you can deliver that in person, or you can click on the nice little button that allows you to email it to a specified group and they get it immediately. So there's just a lot of different ways that you can deliver that message to your leadership team.
Yeah, and we do a monthly report out to our executive leadership. And it, included in that report is, you know, the amount of workplace violence incidents, of course, it's one of the key topics in there. But we also provide them the amount of calls for service for public safety and the amount of phone calls coming into our dispatch center. For example, last month we had 35,350 calls for service that were dispatched. And that's across 5 acute care facilities and about 80 plus non-acute facilities. But we include that in there to show what our staff is doing and to bring light to all the good work and all the tasks that we're doing day in and day out, because not many people know that. And we wouldn't be able to break it down to that amount and to give them exact categories if it wasn't for the 360 analytics and the fact that we have not just report exact, but we also utilize the dispatch software and Omnigo as well.
Excellent. No, again, continue to be great stuff from you guys. So I'm going to shift gears now. And next question is, we'll get Tony to kick off this one. Tony, you've talked about this a little bit. You talked about the growth of your department, some of the changes that you saw. You know, you hit on it at a very high level, but what are some of the ways that you've used that workplace violence data to achieve some of your strategic goals or initiatives when you brought that to senior leadership?
Well, I've used it several different ways, and it's awful hard to kind of bullet down and summarize it. The bottom line is that, you know, it's one thing to go to your leadership and ask, and Mark alluded to, you know, we don't generate money, and it's awful hard to really put a number on how much you're saving the organization through the efforts and the education and the response that you're given. But just being able to deliver trends, you know, over the last however many years you're tracking your data, and to show the increase in calls and then the impact of your staff, and then talking through the actual impact, if I'm able to get a clearer picture of what's going on in our organization and where the needs are. And it may be anything from I can save you money here by trimming back, as Mark talked about, all the doors that we unlock and then relock every day. Do those doors really need to be locked? Let's start looking at you know, what doors, and can those departments lock and unlock their doors themselves? Can we just do a casual check as we're rounding? So there's a lot that we look at in what we're doing, and then looking at the impact, you know, what is the impact of what we're doing? What is our efforts producing as far as actually making the place safer? And, you know, I've used that, the data that we've gotten from everything from increasing staff to getting different equipment, acquiring tasers. We're looking at body cameras now. And again, I alluded to it earlier, we're very fortunate in Indiana to have some very powerful legislation around hospital police, healthcare-based police, and to validate that, no, our organization is ready for this. And we're seeing, unfortunately, we're seeing crimes and we're seeing violence in our organization to the point to where we need to establish our own healthcare-based police department. And so, I mean, I hope I'm answering that, Brian, but that's the bottom line is you have to be able to validate what's going on and how you're responding to it, but also your inability to respond to it. And that shows the need for growth.
And I'll just add on to that. There's something he said about using the data to justify the need for staff. A lot of times we struggle getting staff. So I take the data that we're pulling from these reports, and can I use some sort of technology to supplement staffing? Can I put a camera with, you know, some audio detection on it, and maybe detect, you know, some sort of violence that way and get that early alert that way? Can I put a strobe light outside of the hallway? You know, something in that aspect with all the new analytics that are out there for technology. Can I use that to supplement staff in certain areas because I have to focus more in another area? It's something we've been using here at Lee Health with our technology, and it seems to be working because we struggle trying to get staff to come in.
Yeah, I love this part about technology is, you know, we noticed we started to have a rush of, you know, catalytic converter thefts here on campus in the parking lots. You know, so what are you going to do about that? Well, I mean, I guess I can post more staff in the parking lots, but that's taken away from them rounding, you know, inpatient care areas. Or I can, you know, justify like, hey, we're seeing this spike. It's not just us. It's LA County in general. It's the region in general. But let's put in some cameras and maybe do some LPR, be able to detect who these people are. The next time they come on campus, we get the alert that they've entered, and we're able to interdict and stop them the next time rather than just respond, take a report that, you know, staff or the visitor or the patient, you know, lost their catalytic converter. Because it's brand recognition, right? Like, your patients are coming to your hospital and they go and park in your parking structure or somewhere and come out to their car and their catalytic converter is gone. That's impacting the patient experience pretty well. And so what are we going to do about that? How are we going to fix that? All right, let's invest in some technology, and we can, you know, work to eliminate that from happening or stop these people as they come. You know, the sound intelligence, you know, that sound analytics stuff, you know, it can tell you when someone's breaking a window, you know, gunshots, you know, aggression. I'm sure, you know, we reach out to them and say, hey, can you start recording what it sounds like when they saws all through a catalytic converter? You can start getting some alerts in your parking lots and structures about that as well. So it's trying to be proactive and really take the data to show what can we do to prevent stuff from happening rather than just respond and take the reports.
Now, the other thing I'll say is, you know, we're getting close to the end of our time. So if you do have any questions that you'd like to submit, feel free to submit those questions. We do still have a few minutes. I have one last question for the panel. And I guess, Rob, I'll get you to lead off with this one. When you were implementing your reporting software, how did you overcome any challenges, objections, or obstacles just in terms of getting the approval for the funding?
Yeah, so in reference to staffing challenges with our officers, change in their minds isn't always good, right? Oh my God, I'm so comfortable with this system. I can't believe our leadership's changing this. What we found out, what made it easier for them is, instead of just flipping the switch one day and transition to a new report writing system overnight, we gave them plenty of time to get in some training and see how easier it is. Because one of the things that I absolutely love at Report Exec is the amount of detail we're able to gather in the report compared to our previous system. So if we have questions from a leader standpoint on who was involved, what were they doing, you know, were they a former patient, were they here before, and see if they're linked to another report, if they're, you know, had issues in the past, I'm able to do that now, whereas before I wasn't. So when we started doing our training, we were able to bring these up as examples to our staff and say, hey, this is the benefit of going to this system. We're not just doing it because we want to change things or make things harder for you. Our goal is to make your job easier, and this system is going to make your job easier and more efficient.
Yeah, so what I did a couple of different things, and I'll allude to some of the work I'd done at my previous job at the police department before I came into healthcare. One of the last large projects we took on was identifying a new CAD RMS system. And for a large police department, we were talking about a project that got into it was a multi-million dollar project. And so I took that experience and introduced it to those that were helping me make the decisions here by looking at the power of OmniGo's package and the modules within it and drawing the parallels that this system is doing the same things that I was looking for in this multi-million dollar CAD RMS system. It's just doing it at a different level. I'm not sure how you all keep the cost down on it, but when I can separate my dispatch calls from my report system, and then I have modules that can manage, you know, parking enforcement. I got modules that can, when we even talk about the workplace violence reporting module that's within there, is a very powerful module in and of itself. But when I started showing the different areas that I could impact within the operation that would help other areas, and then I started talking about the hours upon hours upon hours of time I was taking to pull data out of this old system that was the big black hole, it actually was pretty easy to validate that this was a value impact to go with OmniGo as a new system.
Yeah, Tony's point earlier, I just use my good looks. For us, we had the support of leadership. My last organization, you know, they touted themselves as we're going to be innovators in the healthcare sphere, and so we want to have the best technology. And so, you know, as I came in and we're using, you know, logbooks and Microsoft Word for reports and Excel for tracking, you know, solid programs we all grew up on and been around for, you know, 30 years. Not exactly the reports that, you know, that we're able to use and leverage. So, you know, to Tony's point too, we went out to the market, looked at what was out there, and some people did some things really great. You know, incident reporting we had some great systems out there, but, you know, this was the system that we're able to identify that could help us with our lost and found and get rid of a lot of paper process, you know, help with parking citations, help with dispatch, help with, you know, where staff are at and the rounding, and, you know, give them the ability to be able to take reports out in the field and that links up to the system and post orders, you know, right there on the phone or tablet, they're able to read and check that, you know, are integrated in and things like that. And really that I think was the big issue at our last facility was this was the solution that met all of those needs. And like Tony said too, the price point, like you couldn't beat it. Then I get here to you know, now I'm at City of Hope. The last system, they loved it. The staff were comfortable with it. They enjoyed it. That system then went and did a big upgrade, and that became a huge dissatisfier because they changed so much. The staff hated it. So then, you know, it's easy when you come in, the staff don't like the system they're using to say, hey, I have experience with this other one from my last facility. You can bring it in. And then I find out, you know, half the staff that have come from other hospitals are like, oh, yeah, well, I used that at my last hospital as well. So now you're able to, you know, that really cut down on training time, to be honest, because when you use a market leading technology, you know, odds are they've already experienced it, already used it somewhere. So you're not spending a lot of time training them to something new. They're like, oh, it's the same thing we did, you know, Hospital X before I came here. It's good to see you guys have the same thing. It helps, you know, build that continuity when it came to the staff.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for that, guys. Now, there's a couple of audience questions that I'll field. First one, this was from Steven. He asked, what RMS are you using? So I can field that one. That's an easy one. It's all three of these gentlemen are using Omnigo Report Exec. Now, the next question, this one was from Kevin. Kevin asked, what steps were taken to mandate a security response and report to be taken on active and past incidents of workplace violence? And to this one, I know, Robert, you kind of mentioned with your risk software there, you added the question, was this reported to public safety? Anybody have anything else they can elaborate with regards to that question?
Yeah.
For us, it was kind of mandated by the state. They came out, the state defined what workplace violence was, then defined how we had to capture and report it. So that was the focus when we went out and did the trainings. You know, as we built our program in response to the new legislation, is, you know, they captured that and defined it pretty well. So then it was just a matter of making sure that we got all that. You know, at first, like to Robert's point, and Tony probably experienced something similar, is we had different reporting mechanisms. HR would get a report, employee health might get a report for the injury, risk might get something else. And so, you know, as we brought this system in, we just said, we told everybody, listen, this is it. This will be the source of truth. Just call, we'll come take it. That way we make sure we capture 100%. Now, I like to say that happens all the time, but like I got one this morning that I went through the risk side. I double checked, we didn't get anything. So now we're taking that and converting it over to one of our reports to make sure that the data is, you know, is accurate.
Yeah, the other thing I'll mention too is the Omnigo, one of the great things they've done within the dispatch side of the house is we can identify as leaders certain call types that if the disposition, for example, is workplace violence, it doesn't give the officer a choice. It generates a report and the officer knows they have to do a report. So you can set those parameters also to make sure that those event types that are in the disposition, you know what reports you're going to want. And then it becomes up to the officer to justify why they maybe wouldn't have done a report as opposed to deciding whether or not to do the report.
Excellent. All right. One last question here. And this was from Joe, who's not on the call anymore, but I know Joe's a customer. Curious what auto reports you have and frequency that auto sends to you. So if you're using any of the admin reports, again, we have just about a minute. So if somebody wants to field this one.
Go ahead. You teed it up, man. It's all you.
All right. Well, so every morning at 7 a.m., I get whatever happened the previous 24 hours. I just like to get that that quick narrative to see what that looks like. And then I have a weekly report that captures kind of all our data, and then a monthly report that kind of captures it for the month. And then we have, you know, a specialized report like specific workplace violence that we pull that out for the quarterly EOC reporting, monthly for the Cal OSHA reporting, stuff like that we have built out. And I'll be honest, as we go down, we find more needs to create more custom reports and more, you know, auto-generated reports just to to help make life easier, not just for me, but for a lot of others in the department, as well as other departments. You know, our safety is now being key to, they're asking for the auto-generated reports anytime there's a workplace violence stuff. So that's really been, you know, coming full circle as we expand on this.
And I would add this, don't forget to utilize your dashboards in 360 Analytics. You know, I have some on there that I just click on and refresh it real quick, and there's the data I need. Instead of generate a report for everything, I can just click on that real quick and see what's in my dashboards.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time today. I thought this was a great webinar. You guys gave some really good information. One of my colleagues called this the Mount Rushmore of panels as I was looking at the messages that were coming in here. So this was some great stuff. One of the key things, there's a lot of key things I took away from here, but one of the key things was something simple that Mark mentioned, is just really speaking to how we're keeping staff safer and the retention. You know, it seems like a small thing. Well, it's really a big thing, because again, staffing is an area of focus for not just every security team, but really every employer right now. It's just so hard to number one, recruit staff. And once you have them, you don't want to lose them. So I thought that was a great point of emphasis. But again, guys, I want to thank all of you for taking the time today. Thank you to my sales team again, who's up on the screen here. So feel free to reach out to any of those guys if you want to learn more about Omnigo. And someone who likes to kind of hide in the background, who helps put on all these webinars, is Bettina Martinez. So Bettina, like, never comes on camera, but she does a great job of getting everything organized for us. And we wouldn't be able to put on this content without her support. So thank you, Bettina, and thank you to everyone who's still on the call, everybody who joined this. We appreciate you taking the time today. Have a great one.